Genesis chapter 28. The title of the lesson, God appears to Jacob. God appears to Jacob. Now back in chapter 27, in verse 41, it is written, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. He despised, he hated Jacob. Esau had purposed in his heart that he was going to kill Jacob after Isaac died. It didn't matter if Rebekah was still alive. He would like for her to feel the pain because he knew she was in on this. But he was going to wait until Isaac had died. Then he said, then I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. And evidently he told that to somebody because Rebekah was told this. And she sends Jacob away. You see here in chapter 28. Well, actually, it comes back here in chapter 27, verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. That's the ones that married Esau. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? These two daughter-in-laws are killing me. That's what she's saying. She's just saying, because of their idolatry and the way they conducted themselves, and she did not approve of it. And she says, Jacob is not going to marry any of these Canaanitish women. And so she tells Isaac this, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from there, and of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So Rebekah, she has a twofold purpose in this. One, she did not want Jacob to marry any of the women of Canaan because of the idolatry and that matter. But she also knew about Esau's plan to kill Jacob. And so she makes this plan up to send him away to get a wife. And in doing so, she gets him out of the way or the sights of Esau. She gets him out of his sights. And she says, back over in chapter 27, you go away for a little while and I'll send for you. When things cool down, I'll send for you. In a few days, I'll send for you. As far as I know, she never saw him again. She never saw him again. Now, her death is not recorded, but it's not recorded that she ever saw Jacob again. One of the writers said this. I thought this was good. We cannot manipulate the results of sin. We can't manipulate them to come out to good ends or good means. When sin is conceived, the scripture says it brings forth death. We know this, when it's conceived, it sure brings forth trouble. And Rebekah is just saying, look, you just leave for a little while. I'll send for you when he cools down. You know, he'll cool off and come to his senses. He never comes back to her. She never sees him again. And so here, she, as I say, she forbids Jacob to marry any of these women. So she talks to Isaac about it, and Isaac sends him to her mother's house. But here's a good, I want you to get this point. It is written over in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. When I read that scripture just jumped out at me. She says, don't marry a Canaanite. Abraham, when Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac, He said, don't you find a wife among these Canaanites. You go back to our people and you get a wife, and if the Lord prospers you, you bring her. But don't you get one among these people we're living among. They're idolatrous. And Paul basically saying the same thing. He said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's just going to lead to trouble. It's going to lead to trouble. I can say this with confidence. For a believer to purposely marry an unbeliever, that believer cannot expect God's blessing on that house. Now, if he does, he does. But now you can't expect God's blessing. So now we come to chapter 28. And we're going to pick it up really over here in verse 11 when Jacob has this dream of the ladder. But Isaac here in verse 1 realizes God's hand in this, and he blesses Jacob. He doesn't try to change anything. I know Isaac realizes this is of God. This is of God. And he says, go to your mother's house. Now another scripture I thought of over in Galatians chapter 4 verse 26. He said, the Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all. Mary, when it comes to marriage, for believers, when it comes to marriage, marry within the gospel. He says, go to your mother's house. It's like if a single person is looking for a spouse, I'm not talking about a person who believes the gospel, look within the church. I'm telling you, this is my advice. Look within the church. Look among God's people. Look among God's people for your spouse. That's why he said. He said, go to your mother's house and you get a wife. And Isaac in verses 3 and 4, he blesses Jacob again. And this time when he blesses him, he mentions the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of the covenant. And Esau, he sees what's going on here. And he realizes that the Canaanite women were a grief. They were a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And so in his scheming, he goes where? To Ishmael. The son of the bondwoman. The scripture says the son of the bondwoman will not be heir with the son of the free woman. So in what he's doing, he's thinking, well, Since they sent Jacob back to get a wife from her mother's house, he said, then if I get one from the family, he said, he'll be happy with me. Maybe I can change his mind. But you know as well as I do, it says in Hebrews, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it bitterly with tears. So he goes to the son of the bondwoman and gets a wife. He just keeps making it worse for himself. Now, Jacob takes off. He takes off here in verse 10. And it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. Now, here's where the meat of the message is going to be. Jacob takes off, looking for a wife, not looking for God. He's not looking for God. He's looking for a wife, and he's looking to save his skin. Jacob knows he's guilty. He knows he's guilty. He knows he's guilty of this supplanting and conniving. He knows he's guilty of that. Jacob he's guilty. He goes out there and he's out in there in darkness. He's out there on his own. You see here in verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place. He's out there all by himself. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Where does God find Jacob? Where does he find him? God finds Jacob, and this is a good picture of us by nature. God finds Jacob laying in the dust. He's out there laying on the ground. He had a comfortable place to sleep before. He had a pillow to put under his head, but now because of his sin, he's on the run. He's on the run. And God finds Jacob out there at nighttime in the darkness with a stone for a pillow. That's where God finds Jacob. And then it says in verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I believe this is when God saved Jacob. I believe before that he was raised up in the home. He was taught by Isaac. He was taught the gospel. You know, he attended the worship service when Isaac would conduct him. He saw the sacrifices. Just like children being brought up into Bible classes, they're taught the gospel. If they're sitting under the gospel, they're taught the gospel. They know who Christ is, but not until Christ reveals himself is a person saved. Not until then. Jacob knew all this. But when he went out on his own because of his sin, that's the reason he sent out. You know, she said find him a wife, but I tell you, the real reason to send him out is to keep Esau from killing him for what he did. So he's out there. And I believe this is the first time Jacob encountered God Almighty himself. And God reveals himself to Jacob. Jacob knew about God, but he didn't know God. I don't believe he did. Not until this night. And it's interesting. When God revealed himself to Jacob, he gives him a dream, a vision, a type. And it's a ladder. It's a ladder. And you know that ladder represents Jesus Christ. This is why I believe that this is when Jacob was saved, that the Lord made himself known to him standing at the top of this ladder. You know, it's not until you come face to face with Christ and him crucified, with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's when God reveals himself. That's when he reveals himself. He's in Christ. A ladder is revealed to Jacob, and we know this ladder is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, look in verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Have we ever met? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The Lord is setting forth his deity here, omnipresence. I saw you. I saw you all right. I saw you before the world began. That tree was planted for you to sit under and for me to meet you here and to be written in the scriptures. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now turn back to Genesis 28. And verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God, what are they doing? Ascending and descending. Christ is this ladder. Christ is this ladder. The bottom of it rested on the earth. That's the manhood of Christ. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. That's the manhood of Christ. And the top of it reaching into heaven, right into the throne of God. That's the deity of Christ. This is a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how God saves sinners through this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these angels that go up and down this ladder are His servants. They go up and down, which shows this. It shows that they are going up and down, getting their orders. They don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know what's going to happen next. But they get their orders to go here, go there, protect this one, watch over that one. They go up and down this. They are under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He orders them. Everything He orders them to do has to do with me and you. Everything He orders them to do has to do with us, His people. Now here in verse 13 and 14. And behold, the Lord stood above this ladder. And He said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. He's revealing Himself. Salvation comes by revelation. He's making Himself known to Jacob. And He says, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, and that seed is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall all families of the earth be blessed. God stood above this ladder and revealed Himself to Jacob. To Jacob. If God is pleased to reveal Himself to me, to you, to any other sinner, it's going to be in Christ. It's going to be in Christ. Our Lord said, no man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. And He calls Himself the God of Abraham and Isaac. God gave the promise. He made a covenant with Abraham. And then that same covenant with Isaac. And now Jacob is not a different God. There's only one God. There's only one God. And that one God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one God. Now He gives three promises of grace here. He gives a promise of the land that He said He's on, which is the promised land. Canaan is called the promised land, which represents heaven. Which represents the promised land. It's been in God's presence, in God's paradise, in God's heaven. And He promises that I'll give it to you. In Christ. In Christ, we have a promise of standing someday in God's paradise, in God's presence, on a new earth. We have God's promise on that. In Christ, we have God's promise. He establishes this promise standing at the top of this ladder, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He gives a promise of the seed through whom all nations would be blessed. In other words, He's telling Jacob the Messiah is going to come through your lineage. I'm going to see to it. I'm going to see. This is what Esau despised. Esau despised the birthright. He didn't see the spiritual implication of it. What Esau despised was that I'm going to die. And what good is all this double portion to the firstborn going to do me? But he didn't die. And then years go by. And then he wanted it back. He wanted it back. God gave it to Jacob. God gave it to Jacob. And I tell you what. To whomever God gives salvation, that's who's going to have it. To whom the Lord gives it. Salvation is in His hands to give. It's in His hands. And then the third promise is a promise of His. Now listen, this is it's all good, but He gives Jacob the promise of His presence. I'll never leave you. He said, Jacob, wherever you go, I'll be with you. God gave Jacob this promise. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. Do we not have that same promise in the book of Hebrews? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You and I, everyone whom God saves, everyone that believes the gospel, they are never alone. Never, you're never alone. You may feel like you're alone, but you're never alone. The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with you. In one place over in Isaiah, He said, when you go through the water, I'll be with you. Through the fire, it'll not burn you, it'll not kindle upon you. But when you go through these things, I'm with you. I'm not watching you. I'm with you. God gave this promise to Jacob, and we have this promise in the Lord Jesus Christ of God's continual presence. That gives me great comfort living in such a wicked world. We live in a very wicked world, and it is comforting to me to know I have God's presence. Scripture says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. You know who that angel of the Lord is there? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He encamps about His people. And all these angels that go up and down this ladder who are under His authority, I'm telling you the truth, He has them watching your house. He has them watching He's watching your back, so to speak. That's real. That's not a fairy tale. That's real. That's real. And then Jacob in verse 16, he wakes up. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. He wasn't looking for the Lord. Jacob was getting out of town. He was getting out of Dodge. That's exactly what he was doing. And on his way out, he was looking for a wife. He was going to go to his mother's house and get a wife. But he was getting out of town. He wasn't looking for, the Lord wasn't on his mind. Wasn't on his mind. Jacob awoke with new convictions. I mean real convictions. And he had before. Jacob met God. Surely, he said, the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, is in this place, and I was ignorant of it. You know how, there's been many of you sitting in this place, ignorant of God, ignorant of Christ, and one day, God revealed Himself to you. Through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, God made Himself known to you. And you can say with Jacob, surely God was in this place and I didn't know it. No, I just come into the service, going home, you know, just. And then one day, God made Himself known. Surely the Lord is in this place. He didn't say was, He said is. He's in the presence of God. And he knew he was in the presence of God. I don't think you can be. If God has given you life, you can't be in the presence of God and not know it. How can someone like someone that great come to me and me be in His presence and not know it? Not if He's given me life. Now I know a dead person. You know, there can be people in here spiritually dead and God's in this place and they don't know it. But if he gives you life, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. When the gospel's preached, you're going to say, that's right. And your heart's going to leap. Your heart's going to leap in you when you hear the gospel. You remember when Mary visited Elizabeth. She was pregnant with the Lord. And Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. She was like 6 months, I think, with her. And when Mary walked into the room, it says the baby leaped. John the Baptist and Elizabeth, it said the baby leaped in her womb. Have you ever sat under the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and had that kind of experience? You just felt, something leap within you. You just wanted to stand up and say, that's it. That's it. That's the gospel. That's the truth. That's the truth. Surely God's in this place. And he's made me to know it. He's made me to know it now. Jacob, we read here for the first time, was afraid. It says in verse 17, and he was afraid. You ever read through the scriptures, and every time a prophet, or you go over in Revelation, when they come into the presence of God, they fall down like dead men. They fall down like dead men. They are slain to come into such great presence. Jacob, it says, was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? And he's not talking about dreadful or like being awful in a bad way. It's dreadful in the presence of God. He's saying, my soul. He felt for the first time. Jacob felt for the first time his wretchedness. He was a supplanter, but it really came home to him. It really came home to him right here of who God is and what he is. Right here. And the only hope he had of coming before God is that ladder, the Lord Jesus Christ. How dreadful is this place? This is none other, he says, than the house of God. The house of God. Jacob had a new understanding of God. Like Job at the end of the trial, he said, by the hearing of the ear I've heard of thee, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. Well, I think for the first time, there was real spiritual worship. And I tell you what, Jacob's not a young man here. He's 80s. He's probably in his 80s at this time. Real spiritual worship happened for the first time in Jacob's heart. And it happened when God manifested himself at the top of this ladder. And that ladder, you know, is Christ. And Jacob rose up in verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He rose up and worshiped. He worshiped God. I think for the first time in his heart, he worshiped God. He said, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. And listen here. This is the gate of heaven. He calls it in one place here, back in verse 17. He said, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate. This is, you got to get this. This is the gate of heaven. This is the door. Who said that? Who said, I am the door? by me if any man enter in? The Lord Jesus Christ. This, he said, is the gate of heaven. Right here, where this ladder has been revealed, this ladder that represents Christ, he said, this is the door of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes along a few thousand years later and says, I am the door. I'm the door. I'm the door. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the door into God's presence. It's the door of acceptance. But Jacob's still Jacob. that old nature's still with us, isn't it? Notice this. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Bargaining with God. Isn't that something? He's still Jacob. He's still Jacob. Here he is saying, if God will do this, I'll do that. Aren't you glad salvation is all of grace? And salvation is according to that covenant made between the Father and the Son, not between if God will do this, I'll do this. Jacob's still Jacob. And he says, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house and all. I tell you, God's house is, I'm looking at it. God's house is you. You're God's house. That's an amazing. I would to God that He would enable us as time goes by to really get a hold of the union that we have with God in Christ. Let go these things, these old things of the world. Let these things go and cultivate that union that we have with God in Christ. All right.